Amen and good morning. I hope the morning is blessing you, or God is blessing you in the morning, would be more accurate. We have had a lot of blessings lately. Thank you, Adam. We've had a lot of blessings lately. Last night was an exclamation mark. You know, it's hard to know the pulse, the temperature, the need of 250, 200 plus people. So sometimes you hear a few things and you go, there's too many activities planned, or we're not doing this well enough, or that's going great, but this one isn't. So last night, with bad weather yesterday and several events going on with the congregation in the holiday period, and Thanksgiving just being barely a week away, sometimes it felt like, I hope folks can feel like showing up for the holiday dinner. We packed the room last night, and in a wonderful way, we ran out of the main course. So what a joy to, I wish we would run out of food on Sundays. Not that we would not bring enough, but that so many visitors and so many people would gather together that we would do what my mom used to have to do, what my mom used to say, and she'd whisper or say almost out loud at the table, FHB. FHB. And what that meant is that either somebody showed up for dinner that wasn't expected, or we had visitors. She only said that when we had visitors. We had more visitors than expected, or she burnt something in the kitchen and was substituting whatever she had left. And FHB meant family hold back. So when the plate came around, you just took a little spoonful. You know, it might be your favorite, whatever, but you didn't fill up. FHB, guys. Yes, ma'am. You know. So I would love to have to say that, or we would say that on Sundays because so many folks were visiting. But it's a joy. What an encouragement last night in many ways. What a blessing in so many ways, gathering together and listening. Betta gave her presentation about Utah. It was a nice evening in a lot of ways. Thank you very much to those who worked so hard. And of course, our hosts were the teenagers. The teen group hosted it. So thank you guys for doing that. We are, this morning, we're going to be talking about our vision and our look into 2014 and beyond, whatever the Lord looks us into. But in preparation for that, we're going to look at a couple of folks talking to God's people in the Old Testament. So we're going to be in Deuteronomy and Joshua. Deuteronomy and Joshua. Joshua is bracketed by a bit of what we just read, Etienne just read for us. Joshua gets the word out to the people. Joshua talks to the people and challenges the nation of Israel. Joshua 1:1, if you will. Join me in Joshua 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, going down to the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to give to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And almost phrase by phrase, you can apply what God said to Joshua, and Joshua related to the people, you can apply that to the Christian faith. Almost phrase by phrase, that we are at the edge of the promised land, that God has promised us victory in our future, that he will go with us every day, every place we go. He will never leave us or forsake us. Nothing will be able to stand in our pathway. No lie will continue to stand. No cruelty will survive. No false teaching, no division will be successful in the long run in the pathway of God's will being done through his gospel. It's exciting to be where we are. That any day you wake up, God says he renews us every morning. Any day you wake up, you can draw a line and say, from here, this point on, I'm changing things. And I'm listening to God in a clear and a purposed way. Joshua is establishing himself in his relationship with the people, but he's establishing the people in their relationship with God, or maybe reestablishing. Joshua starts with this proclamation and ends in Joshua 24 with the very, very well-known, turn to Joshua 24 with me, last chapter of the book. Verse 13, I have given you a land which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them, and eat of vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods of which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your fathers served who are on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Isn't that interesting? After all of that, now this is after the victories. This is after the taking of the bulk of the land. This is after establishing them militarily and physically in the promised land. That Joshua says, now you choose. He didn't say, now you're stuck. He didn't say, God has you by the throat and he's in control of you. He didn't say, you owe me. I led you here. I sacrificed for you. Therefore, you listen to what I say. None of those proclamations are made to God's people. When you get up in the morning, you look at God's word, you look at his creation, when you look at his will, when you look at tomorrow or this afternoon, you get to choose. It's a highly respectful thing God does for you. You're not drafted. You're not bound by some criminal code or some legal code. God deals with us in a high degree of respect. Even with the call to victory and then the gift of victory, he still lets us all know, family by family, person by person, you gonna follow me? Am I your choice? Do you know how to let go of the gods of this world and how to follow one God? Do you know how to let go of the lies of this world and follow one truth? Do you know how to let go of the division of this world and follow perfect unity? He never binds us. He always respectfully calls us. What a gift. What a blessing. What a piece of respect that God gives us. And of course, Joshua says, and Joshua speaking as the head of his home, the head of his wife, Joshua says, for me and my household, we're following Yahweh. We're following Jehovah. Now, your elders have been taking a leadership class. Talk about a gift from God. We have, all four of us, have been in the Monday night leadership class. It's on video, part of the VBI series, taught by Richard Rogers. And we are getting very strong doses of servant leadership, of leading by example, of what does Christ call us to. But we're also getting heavy doses of consensus development. What does it mean to communicate and connect dozens, hundreds of people toward one goal, toward the moving together as a congregation? And as we see what God does with Joshua and his people, let's look back and see what he does also with Moses and his people. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 1, if you will. God gives us clear examples. We'll see these two now and during our presentation. I have a presentation here on what we hope for our future, 2014 and beyond. Deuteronomy 1, 1. These are the words that Moses spoke to all Israel beyond the Jordan. To all Israel beyond the Jordan in the wilderness, in Arabah, opposite Suf, between Paran and Tophel, Laban, Hezeroth, and Dishaba. You can practice these and still stumble right in the middle of them. Dishahab. It is 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. In the 40th year, sound like a familiar number? In the 40th year, it could have taken him 11 days, in other words. But in the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses spoke to the people of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment to them. Now, this is another one of those historical points on the map. This isn't, and Moses stood up before the people and said something. This isn't, and somewhere in the desert on some particular time when Moses found it convenient. This is in Arabah, opposite Suf, between Paran and Tophel, Laban, Hezeroth, and Dizahab. You know the place. You know, they found another city from the New Testament the other day. Well, they found it a couple of years ago, and the other day they established that it was almost certainly a particular city mentioned in Mark that had never been discovered before. Another piece of archaeology upholding the word. But that's a very, very specific place. That's not a once upon a time story. And it's in a very specific year on a very specific day. The Bible doesn't read like any other ancient book. And it gives these things exactly. In any case, Deuteronomy then goes, and the entire book tends to be one speech. It's not every word, but the entire book tends to be that which Moses, by God, delivered. The entire book is what he told the people of Israel before he was to die and then Joshua was to take over. I want us to look at Deuteronomy chapter 5, just a second. Deuteronomy chapter 5 starts this way, and verse 1. And Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the rules that I speak in your hearing today. You shall learn them and be careful to do them. The Lord your God made a covenant with us in Horeb. Not with our fathers did the Lord make this covenant, but with us, who are all here alive today. The Lord spoke to you face to face at the mountain, out of the midst of the fire, while I stood between the Lord and you at the time to declare to you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up to the mountain. And he said, 'I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me.'" And then he continues with the other nine commandments. Now, the commandments themselves are strong pieces of respect. God is establishing before his people what he considers special, what he considers holy. Himself, for one. Himself, his name, and any consideration of his image. He considers his relationship with his people sacred, holy, and therefore says, "You keep that Sabbath day special for me." He considers our family relationships sacred, and therefore both in the sense of how you treat your wife and in the sense of how you treat your parents, he considers that holy. He considers human life holy. He considers your body, sexual intimacy, he considers that holy. Be careful with that, he says. He considers your property holy. No one's allowed to take it from you. He considers the truth holy. And he considers your place, your home, your relationships in your own household holy. God lays these things out, but notice how much of it is on our side of the ledger. Moses says, God looked at you face to face and made this covenant. He considered you, your life, your property, your relationships, yourself. Those are special to him. And once again, God says, you have a choice. I gave you a covenant, right? It was a handshake. You have your part, I have my part. We respond to one another. The law treats us respectfully. God's approach to his people treat us respectfully. And God's training of the leaders of his people is to treat his people respectfully. It's a beautiful and a powerful pattern that's developed in the Bible, and it continues into the New Testament. What we're going to do here is we're going to look at our vision of 2014 and beyond. We've got handouts for every family. We've got handouts for every family. So those will be handed out right now. And we'll begin to talk about what we hope the Lord can do with us in the coming year. So excuse me a second while I get these turned on. The elders wanted to do this at this time as a point of communication to get the information out as best as possible, because as it should be, the decisions we make and the way we see God, leading us, drives how we pattern our activities, how we pattern our teaching, and how we pattern our budgeting. And we're at the end of the year and being able to establish budget. I got an early Christmas gift yesterday. I have a remote control for advancing slides. This was a surprise yesterday. And it's got a laser pointer in it too. So I'll begin to talk while these are being passed out so we won't use up any time. Could I have somebody turn off these lights here and maybe half of these? Will that bother anybody?
There you go. Thanks, Joe. Everybody see all right? Okay. So, we don't want to say this is a vision statement as if we have any concept of what God's going to lead us into in the future. But we do know that He's victorious. So these are our ideas from His Word into our opportunities of a vision. These are our vision ideas for next year and beyond. Our mission, we never want to go too far away from our mission. We talk to our deacons about making sure that the mission is part of what they serve in their areas of responsibility as deacons. So Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. And the establishment of His authority is for us to do this. Or He's talking to the apostles who then gave it to us. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age. That same promise He'll never leave us or forsake us that we just read before God's people is still before God's people. Make disciples, as you know, is the command phrase in all of that. The rest of it is supportive phrases of how we do that all around before and after. So we take make disciples as being our mission. Now we want to make the mission real. It's not just words. And we don't think we've done that very well at times. We want to make disciples practical to individual members. We want each member to know where they are in the picture of make disciples. Therefore, we think we need practical applications in our lessons and sermons and such, our studies. We need useful events that allow us to apply our role in the mission into the event, inviting people to home groups or the fellowship of getting together over the holidays as we've been doing. And we want to match your talents, our talents, to the good works that God gives us. Now, it breaks down like this. The big mission is make disciples. The submission is outreach, evangelism, and maturity or growth. Outreach and maturity, evangelism, growth. Both of those are subsets of making disciples. You make disciples by bringing people to Christ. You make disciples by growing them in Christ so that they continue to know the Lord in greater ways. Underneath those, we see that our evangelism is right here where we live, across the state where we serve Him, and wherever the Lord lets us go outside. Our growth is individual and family and congregational. Those are slightly different things and take different things to grow them. So, this is a little busier, but we see that the process of... I'm missing the top of my slide. That reads Valley Evangelism. You know that because you can read your paper, but up there is a great big word that says Valley Evangelism. We see that there's much improvement needed in our evangelism. We need, especially local, we could train better, we could teach better, and we're taking very seriously our roles in the areas of elders and deacons, ministers. We could example better. And so we want that we grow seriously in the areas of the process of personal evangelism. We have teachers, we have evangelists here, we have preachers, and we're looking to slightly change. The elders have asked me to change the way and ask David to change the way we work together. They would like me to be more involved in reaching out to the community. One specific way is to take the creation presentations and present them to the community and create events outside this building. We're going to try in February, create events outside this building to show the community that God is our creator and attract some attention to His gospel by doing that. They also want me to develop as a counselor and are calling me to go into training for that. They would like David to step up into more congregational teaching and more in developing the maturity of the congregation and his closeness to the congregation. We're very pleased with David's teaching, his growth, and his relationship with us, and we see all of that would be nothing but good to grow in those things. And partway through the year, we hope, God willing, the Mike and Annie Kakis will be moving up. And then we'll have a young man that will be able to give experience and development. And Lord willing, he'll be able to serve God's church in Alaska. Our activities revolve around home groups, valley presentations at some of the what we talked about, including teaching family skills, parenting, marriage, etc., outside of our immediate church family, but into the community. And then our church activities, VBS, our fellowship events, and then friendship. Nothing is quite as important, nothing is quite as effective as friendship evangelism. So we see that as part of what we do. Alaska evangelism. We want to continue and even expand our visits and support of smaller congregations in Alaska. That's not just the ministers here or the preachers here. That's many of our members who go around the state and teach at other congregations. And we want to encourage that and continue that, including with Lauren, et cetera. But that happens. Eagle River, Delta Junction, Valdez, Kodiak, Anchor Point, et cetera, Seward. That there are many connections we've made around the state in visiting and encouraging. We want to assist and coordinate with other congregations for their evangelistic efforts. We're trying to do that with Anchorage as they reach out to smaller community, and Soldotna specifically has been communicating with that. We want to improve relationships between congregations. Major step was made recently when Sam, the minister for the Wasilla Church of Christ, joined us for our preachers' conference a month and a half ago. And so we got some wonderful direct contact, very unifying contact with him, Sam Carman. And so far, we're heading it off very smoothly. So hopefully we can continue to improve our relationship with the closest Church of Christ here in the state. But we want to do so with other congregations, that the unity across congregations stays strong and gets stronger. Valley Bible Institute is... This is part of its purpose, is to train preachers who can go out into the state of Alaska. We want to do that better. Prison ministries. Not only do we have 1,000 prisoners down here at Point McKenzie, but we're going to have hundreds of families of prisoners moving into the valley area because the prisoners are down there. And that's an opportunity and a contact. So our prison ministry is work inside the walls and outside the walls. And we want to be ready and developed to do that. Lectureship support, we'll get to that in a second. We have a preachers' conference, and we want to, our mission is still clear, that we want to plant a church and churches. We want to plant other congregations. Our outside evangelism, some of that's been handed to us, the Hollingsworth and their work in Thailand as we support Lauren and Penny. And Carol and I have been able to travel to Thailand, or I asked again to travel this October to go back to Thailand and teach. We're supporting two different works in Mexico. Our AIM work, and we got the beautiful presentation last night from Betta and other young folks going down to Texas. But we consider more than that. Folks who go into colleges in other states, or here in Alaska for that matter, or go into the military and move to other places, are part of us. Then the encouragement and the teaching and exampling, the training we give them here is carried with them. It's not just happenstance that they go places. They go there with our blessings and with God's encouragement. And then there's individual evangelism around the world. People, you all support missionaries around the world with your own contributions through us and separate from us on your own. We have supported medical missions from here that have been created by an individual. We have supported individual. In fact, we have another man going this year to teach at another Bible school from this congregation. I'll let him announce that when he's ready to. But our teachings and our travels, like colleges and military work, are not just happenstance. They are us going out of here to help God's work wherever our travels get to take us. Now, on the growth and maturity part, Christian growth is fundamental to our walk in Christ. On a personal level, obviously, we want personal Bible study. We want to identify better your talents, and put them to use. Your individual relationships are extremely powerful. The way you serve and quietly serve one another, find people with needs and fill those needs, is very much a part of the growth and maturity of this congregation. We wouldn't embarrass you by bringing them up, even the ones, the quiet ones that the elders know about. But there are hundreds of different things that go on here on that level. And then we want to spread good work to those who have time on their hands, who are looking for works to do, spread out to match talent to work. We want to develop family maturity with skills training, marriage, and parenting. We want to have family encouragement activities that we as a church encourage families, that women with children feel relaxed with their children, that there's room for them to take care of babies, that babies are allowed in our sessions, and that we develop ourselves better in the areas of counseling and helping families. As a congregation, we never want to move away from preaching the Word. The Word is our rock. You noticed everything I read in the Old Testament teachings always got back to, are you listening to my Word? Are you following my Word? Listen to what I teach you, etc. And then finding, uniting, I said it reads uniting hearts and talents, and then home groups. Continue to develop and grow the use of our home groups. We see a lot of encouragement and a lot of growth going on there. Now, for 2014, starting with home groups, we want to encourage and expand those. Don't be discouraged. First of all, we're very encouraged by our home groups. Some of them have had hiccups. Some of them have had scheduling struggles. But don't be discouraged by wherever your home group is. We deliberately started this slowly, knowing that it needed to grow slowly. And bumping its way through the holiday season to figure out what nights you can meet and whether or not you cancel or through bad weather. Don't be discouraged by home groups. We still have people stepping up saying, I'll host one, I'll teach one, and we want to continue to do that and grow them slowly, with stability and with heart, so that we don't manufacture artificially these get-togethers. We want to reach out to the Valley. I just talked about a creation presentation in which we're scheduling a place for February, and all of us will have a part in inviting or advertising for that. We would like to have a midwinter children's event, whether it's Chili Willy or something else. I'll let the folks who plan those things take care of that. But we want that to be part of the encouragement and development in 2014. We want to maintain a VBS. And the reason it says summer there is because at the bottom of the page it says lectureship, and we don't want one to overwhelm us while we're planning on the other. Valley Bible Institute classes continue, and I encourage you to pay attention to what those are. Those are very good classes, excellent additional training and development for us as individuals and as families. We are hosting the 2014 Alaska Statewide Lectureship. We're excited to do that. We've already talked to the schools, and they have several schools we can rent for the weekends we're looking at. The theme we've got is we believe, therefore we speak. The natural consequence of faith leading to evangelism. Now, we see that the most likely and probably the best weekend is the weekend of the 11th, 12th, 13th of April. And we're proposing that. That is not in concrete. We don't have a contract with a school. But we wanted you to hear it first. We're going to show it to the preachers around the state. And by the end of the year, by the end of this month, we'll have that settled. So if you know any serious reason that that's not a good weekend, please let us know. But that's what we're looking for the weekend before Easter. So it's far enough out that it'll be hopefully after most of the snow's broken up, but not off into May, so that people are already got their sights set on leaving the state or camping or getting out of school or other things, and that gets really busy. Continue 2014. That'll be about the time in May, late May, early June, God willing, that Mike and Annie Kakis will come here. We're hoping to offer him a part-time salary, part-time support up here, find a place where they can live and help hopefully train them and to work with us. We haven't settled that in with him yet, and we want to give him a solid offer before the end of this month so that they can give us a response back. We want to continue to improve our assemblies and our classes. We've been talking with Mark Keller for a while about sharpening our education program, and the elders want to dive into that in the early half of of 2014 so that we personally see what's being taught, what's in the classes, and where do we think we can improve it. We want teachers not to be frustrated and them to have plenty of support. We're going to hopefully get John Teamer up here to teach us some in congregational singing, both for our song leaders and for ourselves. We want to develop the maturing ministries of youth, young adult, men's and ladies, so that those groups are growing and useful to our members. Now, Barry just gave an update on the church expansion project, but that's absolutely huge, just in its size alone and its cost alone, in any part of our vision or 2014. There's a little bit of an update. Barry gave you that it's near the completion of phase one, that the lot has been graveled and leveled in addition to phase one, that there's a heated entrance that's poured concrete out in front, that the entire building is insulated right now. But we just got our next payment bill, since he updated that, of $108,000. And because of your generosity, we had $30,000 of it in cash. So we only had to take $78,000 in loan. That's really cut back on our loan needs so far. We had an offer to put in a heating system for us at $200,000. And we're thinking about the pluses and minuses of doing that at this time of the year, whether we need it. We're going to keep working at the moment with Byler. That helps us in the areas of insurance and permitting and other things and engineering. And our goal is to clean this piece of property up, do better painting inside, finish off things inside so it looks and shows better. Lord willing, we can sell it. Please don't be impatient over the progress of this. We knew this would take years. And if this sells quickly, it still could take a while to get into any new building. But right now, it's not selling. And we're not afraid of the future because this isn't selling. There are several ways that we can get into that new building, but be patient. You've been encouraging about it, but don't let frustration build just because it's not going as fast as we were hoping or as fast as we wanted. Now, this is consensus building, and I'll wrap up here with this and the last page. Joe, do you have the last page? Go ahead and start passing that out. In Acts chapter 5, when they found the problem in feeding families and feeding widows in the congregation, they chose the first, what we would assume were deacons by the work that they did. The first deacons were chosen, but they pulled the whole congregation together to discuss it and settle on that idea. And so that found approval of the whole congregation. In Acts 15, when they had doctrinal headaches and were trying to figure out what to do, the apostles and the elders met together. The apostles and the elders met with the people who had doctrinal ideas. They settled the issue between the apostles and the elders, and then they brought it to the whole congregation and presented it to the whole congregation, both in the settling of it in Acts 15:22. Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church. And then when they presented the issue, the corrective issue or the helpful issue, they presented it to the church in Antioch a few verses later. They went, and having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter which they received with enthusiasm, great encouragement. So gathering the church together to talk about who we are, what we're doing, where we're going, building consensus. Consensus doesn't mean unanimity. It means that we're all unified. We don't all necessarily have exactly the same thought or exactly the same conclusion, but we are unified to pull together in the same direction. So what we're passing out is your ideas and your response to this proposal. The first items there are what that you've seen and heard do you think we should prioritize? Where should we put our greatest efforts? Where should we support with money? What do you see are the 4, 5, 3, 2, whatever number you want. I just put 4 spaces there. That the highest priorities of our ideas, vision ideas here. The next bullet is, which are the lowest of your priorities? Which do you, I don't know, doesn't seem to be an important thing for us to do. And you list the 4 lowest things that you think are worthy of our attention and support. And then, where the money hits the road, what are you willing to put your effort and time into? What are you willing to work at? Where do you want to apply yourself? Your application of the talents you know you have, the application of where you think, yes, I'd love to jump in and help this. Please fill those out and get them back to the elders. We'd love for you to do it today, but I know some of it may require reading, prayer, thought, maybe even talking to deacons. The deacons want this to be a success with you, and they're the ones who are trying to apply talents to works. So talk to them about this. But we'd love to have the response today. If you need to take till next week, we do understand. And finally, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. So they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and then I will bless them. This is what God told Moses to tell to Aaron and the priests. God wanted the priests, and you know who the priests are today, God wanted his priests to know personally, through the mouth of Moses, from his own words, that he wanted to bless them, that he wanted to encourage them, he wanted to lift them up and to stay in a close, shining relationship with them. So, God bless you. Thank you for your work. And may he keep you, and may his face shine on you, and may you know his encouragement, so that when you use his name and his word with people, it can multiply and bring blessings to others. If there's any here that need to respond either to this message with a communication to the church of something they can correct or need help with, or if you're ready to respond to the gospel by being baptized into Christ, if you have any of those needs that coming forward would help you with, please do so while we stand and sing the song that's been selected.